Philemon, this hand of Philemon, and you'll take the gleaning some thoughts from this personal letter that Paul sends to Philemon. In the New Testament, you have several letters that Paul sent to individuals. You remember 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. He sent personal letters. But this is one that is even more personal, and it's not like Timothy and Titus, but it is of a more personal nature. In fact, of such a personal nature that at times some people thought it was of no consequence. But it's of the greatest consequence because of that very reason. God teaches us in His Word, not only directly, but indirectly. And whereas if He put down in order everything He wanted us to know, how vast this book would be. But dropping a thought here, another there, He gives us all the answers that we need to know, and in such a book, His system. So I'll read a little bit to you from it, and comment on it as we go along. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved and fellow worker. Verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love, and of the faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all the saints. Now, this is a verse that is so compact and difficult that you can look at the various translations and you can't ascertain exactly what it means. But this much we can ascertain, that the fellowship, and what is so interesting, remember this word fellowship here, it's translated communication in the King James. It's the word koinonia. But the word fellowship here is, look at verse 17. If then thou countest me a partner, you wouldn't realize it, but it's the same root word. So here, the word koinonia can be translated fellowship, communication, sharing. So he says in verse 6, that the sharing of thy faith. Isn't that interesting? He mentions the faith. He mentions the love. And then he says concerning that faith and that love, I want that faith to be shared, that the sharing of thy faith may become effectual. That means operative. It's going to be energetic. In the knowledge of every good thing which is in you. Keep those words in mind. He's got faith. He wants it shared. He wants that sharing to become effectual or operative, and in the area of the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, and all of it is to be done unto Christ. 4, verse 7, I have much joy and comfort in thy love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through thee, brother. Notice carefully, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through the brother. And then later he says, refresh my heart. Look at verse 20. Let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. You see how subtle, how adroitly the Apostle Paul makes this appeal. Alright, verse 5. Or verse 8. Wherefore, though I have all boldness in Christ, to command thee, this is the word that's translated command so many times, though I have all boldness in Christ to command thee that which is befitting, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner also of Christ Jesus, I beseech thee for my child whom I have begotten in my bonds, Onesimus, who once was unprofitable for thee, but now is profitable for thee and to me, whom I would have sent back whom I sent back to thee in his own person, that is, my very heart, whom I would fain have kept with me, that on thy behalf he might minister unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy goodness should not be as of necessity, but of free will. Notice the contrast. You have necessity and free will. Paul does not want compulsion. He wants free will. 15. For perhaps he was therefore parted from thee for a season, that thou shouldest have him forever, no longer as a servant, but more than a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much rather to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then thou countest me a partner, receive him as myself. But if he hath wronged thee at all, or oweth thee aught, put that to mine account. I, Paul, write it with mine own hand. I will repay it. That I say not unto thee, that thou owest to me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in thine obedience, I write unto thee knowing that thou wilt do even beyond what I say. And so that's all we're going to read of it. We'll go through more later. This is so filled with matter, glorious truth, that I can only tell you a few of them. And one of them is this. Not only that Paul, in the fullest sense of the word, fulfilled the responsibilities that Christ placed upon him, but also, having fulfilled that responsibility, he did completely that which God required of his apostles after. This is what I mean. It says in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and then what does it say? Teaching them to observe what? All that I commanded you. If I were able to go and win souls, that would be enough. But that's not the full commission. After they are won, you are not to say, now go and join the church of your choice. But it says, it always happens, they just cry, phones ring, don't worry. Just let it ring, or I just ignore it. It's not ringing. We're Christian scientists. All right. What happens is this. If perchance we do win a soul to Christ, then you're on your own. But I found that this was not the habit of the Apostle Paul. He not only fulfilled the first part of the commission, going to preach the gospel, but having preached the gospel, he was going to see to it that all things that Christ told him to impart to those that had been made disciples, he was going to see that those things were imparted to them. And so, for that reason, here is the third thing that he does. Suppose I lead a man to Christ, I teach him everything that Christ wants him to know. There's one thing that is most important that is lacking, and that is the personal love of the spiritual father of that one whom you have begotten through the gospel. And this is what the Apostle Paul excels in. I'm thinking not only here, but there comes to mind something like this in 1 Thessalonians. He's the one that led them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the way he put it. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, how that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And so here they're saved. But he says in the next chapter, you became very dear unto us, and as a nurse cherisheth her children, he cared for you. And that's lovely. How many evangelists and how many of those, if we do win people for Christ, how many of us have that attitude toward them? And if we are teachers, I wonder if we love them as children, if we are wanting to train them as children. But the Apostle Paul did. That is the remarkable thing. He loved me. He said, I'm ready to stand and be set for you. And there was nothing that he was not prepared to do for those that were truly saved, that he had been responsible in bringing them to Christ. Now, what church does he tell us that he begat through the gospel? Does any brother remember? It says in 1 Corinthians 4, though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, you have only one father. I begat you through the gospel, you see? So here's the whole church that started. The church at Corinth. Here is Thessalonica. Stayed at Ephesus 3 years. And it said that from Ephesus the word of God went out to all the areas round about. And concerning that, he was able to say to those Ephesian elders, he said, my hands are pure from the blood of all men. He said, I held back nothing that was profitable unto you. He held them the whole counsel of God. Now, if I can do that, if I can love the children of God that I'm teaching, those that I say, teach them all the things of God, but for there to be a spiritual bond that is as close and is as endearing as when you bring a physical child into the world. It was the same in the case of the Apostle Paul in the spiritual realm as it would be in the physical realm for other people. He was a good spiritual father, and I wish that all who have been led to Christ would have spiritual fathers to care for them, as they did to Paul. You think that those converts could make a lot of progress? I think so. And would they be able to say, nobody loves me? Not at all. They could never doubt the love. And yet, they did. The only complaint that they had about Paul was that he told them the truth. And he said, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? And so that's the only thing that he would do to make them angry with him. He would tell them the truth. But he said, I held back nothing from you. I declared unto you the whole counsel of God. So keep this in mind, first of all, that having fulfilled completely the commission given by Christ, there was something that must take place that is of the Spirit of God, that is more than just obedience. There is that love for those that you lead to Christ. And it must be of God, because this is a person of no importance, a slave, a thieving, runaway slave, and yet Paul says, I send him back as my own heart. So this bond of affection is known. I'll only tell you vaguely what I'm going to tell you now, but there was an evangelist among the assemblies, and he told another friend of mine, he said, if you lead middle hands to Christ, he said, you'll never get any progress, any growth in the work. In other words, you have to try to win those of a different class. I wonder why this didn't come to mind. I would say, if you lead slaves to Christ, nothing can be done. But that's wrong. You do not know what is latent in such no hands. And some of us are old enough to remember Gypsy Smith. Remember? A gypsy, you see? And yet, there was one that was used of God to save hundreds and hundreds of people. So, it is possible. But, sad to say, many times, what we are by nature, it isn't change our drive, our goals, our attitudes. I wish it were. I wish that verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I wish that was so, and if I didn't like to study, if I didn't like to hide God's word in my heart, if I didn't like to attend meetings, that suddenly I did like to, there is some change. But how often are we exhorted in the Word of God to do what we should do? But in the case of the Apostle Paul, it was different with him, and he was as concerned in winning slaves as he was in winning masters. Because here is a double blessing for him. You say, these are my two children in Christ. And one of you is the master, and the other one is the slave. And Paul said, I led them both. I have begotten him in my bonds. So keep that in mind. So some realistically faced it, and we must face it, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I could wish that we had those like that. that God's word says not many, then we're not expected. But most of us are trying to make the people that lead us and teach us wise and mighty and noble. And yet the Lord Jesus told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we wanted to be strong and have influential people up. Paul said, that's exactly what I'm fighting against. He said, I determined to preach this way, that your faith and hope might be in God. So all the weaknesses that are associated with us, then God can get the glory. Because here is just this myth. And that man is preaching. Here is a thieving, runaway slave. And this man has become invaluable to the Apostle Paul. And so that's what the gospel of God can do. Let's remember that. So when we look at men, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, from henceforth we know no man after the flesh. We look at him and say, nothing can ever come of this, but something can come of this. It says concerning Peter and John, they looked at them, and they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant fishermen. And the writings of this ignorant and unlearned fisherman, Peter, and the writings of this unlearned and ignorant fisherman, John, thank God, nothing more precious. So this is what God can do. And it may be true that not many middle hands are going to turn out to be an Onesimus, but there may be. But love them just the same, and do for them just the same. This is what God would have us to know. And if you are a middle hand, accept that. Paul says, I say by the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think soberly according as God has given to each man a measure of faith. And so do not think that this man has proof of faith. Understand that he has a measure of faith. And the Lord gives what he gives us according to our several ability. And so I would have more if there were more to me. But he's only given according to my several ability. And I like to tease people, I told you before, I have two talents. I know two. Because if I had one talent, you wouldn't invite me. And if I had five talents, I wouldn't come. You understand? And so that's the reason that the Lord has given me two talents. But a man that has two, if you work hard at it, at times you think he has more. And a man that is lazy, like Archippus, and here is Archippus mentioned here in Colossians 4, you tell Archippus, take heed to the ministry which is received in the Lord. There are some that have gifts, and they do not work at it. And there are some that work diligently. And the Apostle Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And he said this, God's grace which was bestowed upon me was not found vain. For there was saving grace and enabling grace. But, he says, it was not found vain. Now, if God gives us a task to accomplish, do you think he might give sufficient grace, George? Of course he does. Then, if it isn't accomplished, it is not God, it is we who let that grace be bestowed in vain. And that's why he's telling Timothy, he said, now, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He said, now, you suffer hardship, and you tell Archippus to fulfill that ministry. And he kept giving encouragement and exhortation, because that tendency in us is not to use to the full and glorify God to the full with the talent that he's given. But Paul did. And what's so remarkable is the love that he has in this respect. Now, I want to bring this out because it is so evident. A man phoned me long distance a few weeks back, and he said, did I hear you once tell me that there was not going to be one soul in hell that wanted to be saved? I said, that's right. He said, well, I heard someone preaching, and they said that there will be many souls in hell because we did not take them to gospel. He said, now you told me that there wouldn't be one soul in hell. I said, that's exactly right. And he said, I remember the verse you told me. The Lord Jesus said in John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And so how many that the Father gave Christ shall come to Christ? Well, then, if all are going to come, how many are not going to come?
None.
Exactly. Then how many are going to be lost that the Father gave to Christ?
None.
Now, that's why I said it. You understand? And what is so remarkable is that you see this throughout the Word of God, not denying that the Father invites all to come, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But in John 17, the Savior spoke about, now, of all those that you gave me, I have lost none. It was Judas. You didn't give me him. He wasn't a believer, it says in chapter 6. He didn't believe. He knew the word, ones that did believe and didn't believe. He was a thief. He stole not all that the Father gave. And so remember, all that the Father giveth Christ shall come to him, and him that cometh unto him, he shall in no wise cast out. And so think. A wife was presented to King Henry the VIII, and he looked at her and he said, I don't want her. Now, here is the Father saying to his son, I've got somebody for you. Let me see him. Well, he's a thieving, runaway slave, you understand? But the Savior said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, what? I won't cast him out. Here's a man that's being crucified on the cross because of a life of sin. And the Father said, I've got another one here for you. And the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, understand, what is so remarkable is the way that God gets those that he's given the Son to be saved. He never does it, and that's why I read those two words. Even Paul, when he's making an appeal, he says, I don't want this of compulsion, but notice how it said here, I want it of your own free will. And man has a free will toward sin, but though it's free, it will never incline toward God unless the Father draws. But the Father draws, and the Savior in chapter 12 said, if I be lifted up unto earth, will draw all men unto me. So here are those that are drawn, and God works in a remarkable way. Remember, the place that Onesimus ran away from was the home of Philemon. And he said, you are my beloved, you have love, you have faith, you are my fellow worker. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. And what did Onesimus want to do in that environment? He wanted to get away from him. You say, how is that? Because there are some men that can lead others to Christ that you can. It's a remarkable thing. I've seen some that are able to reach certain individuals that you can't reach, and I can't reach. And there are certain that we can lead to Christ that others can't reach. And here, the gospel, a life of exemplary behavior is lived before Onesimus, but he's dissatisfied and he runs away. But he does not realize that he is one that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he runs away from his master Philemon, but he finds one that is more fanatical than his master Philemon. And here he is in jail with Paul. I would think that he probably stole something, misbehaved in Rome, and was put in jail with Paul. It may not be that way. It may be that he went to visit Paul because he is in Rome. Here is Paul in his own hired house, receiving those that come and go. But you would hardly think that if he ran away from Philemon, he would run to see Paul. But some way, God brought them together. Now at times, here is Paul in prison, and he can't preach, and so the Lord sends them to him, you see. Here is an Ethiopian eunuch in the desert, and he can't understand Isaiah 53, and God says to Philip, you go and teach him. So understand that if a person is given to Christ, if a person is desirous to be saved, or if a person isn't even desirous to be saved, but when he hears the gospel, he will be saved. God sees to it that the gospel comes to him, because Paul said, I have begotten him in my bond. And he says in 1 Corinthians 4, I begat you through the gospel. So there was only one weapon that Paul had to win souls to Christ, and that was the gospel. And the gospel that was not acceptable to Onesimus when he was in Colossae, when he went to Rome, the conditions were brought about that the gospel was precious to him, like this. The younger son in Luke 15 held us home at first. He said, Father, give me the substance of the home. He couldn't stand it at home. But in the far country, he came to himself. You understand? Couldn't get it at home. But where did he get it? In the far country. Here is Onesimus in Colossae, surrounded by the truth of God. No. But here is a man in Rome, and instead of Paul visiting and converting him, as he did Philemon, instead, Onesimus fled to Rome, never realizing that he was fleeing into the arms of God. So just remember that all but the Father gives of Christ should come to him. How? Who knows? At times, they're up a sycamore tree, and the Lord says, come down. At times, they're casting nets into the sea. At times, they're like Lydia, down by the riverside at a prayer meeting. You find them everywhere, and God knows where they are. And you remember in Acts what the Lord Jesus said to Paul after he had suffered so much? He said, fear not, he said, now, no man is going to lay hands on you to harm you. He said, I have much people in this city. And so when he tried to go to Bithynia, what did God tell him? Don't go. When he tried to go to Mysia, don't go. But in Philippi, come over and help us, you see. So Paul was good at saving souls in jail. Where did you save the flick in jail? In jail. And where did you save Philemon? Onesimus. In jail. And we'll tell you how many he did that. So just remember that here, the Apostle Paul is gladly used of God. And when this slave comes, and he says, look, didn't I see you at Philemon's plantation? I know you. Something like that. Or he may have confessed. However, practical instance that we're brought together. Well, they're brought together, and Paul wins him over through the gospel. And the Lord Jesus wins that thief on the cross over by his behavior and the words that the thief heard him speak. And though he had reviled the Savior as the other thief had, something touched his heart, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he was one there. So, the last day of your life, he can save you. But, in the case of Timothy, from a child, and it's the word brephos, from an infant I was known the holy scriptures that are able to make me wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. But, even though he had known them from an infant, Paul said, Timothy, you are my true child, and you are my beloved child. And so, here is Timothy, his whole life long, but Paul comes along, and he wins it. And I've seen this. Those that I've spoken to so many times, those that you have taught in a Sunday school for so many years, and some special preacher comes along, and they get saved, you see. So, it doesn't matter. You sowed the word, and Paul said, look, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So, it doesn't matter. And you'll get a part in it. The Lord knows how to divide the rewards for those that were won. Now, this. I told you how gracious Paul was to his converts. How diligent in winning converts. And he wanted to go places he had never been before. That people that hadn't heard the gospel could hear the gospel. But once they did hear, he saw to it that they were in good hands. And that's why he sent on that from the back of Philemon. A changed man. But here is something that is more than loving him. The way that this man assumes responsibility for one who previously had been a thieving, runaway slave. Now that would make me nervous. Ever so nervous. Because it says in the book of Proverbs, look out if you become surety for a stranger. What will happen to you? You will smart for it, you see. But here is Paul, and he becomes surety for this man that was a stranger. But evidently, he has seen that there is true conversion. And he knows that there is solidity and reality for this man. And so he is prepared to become surety for this man. How do I know that? Because he said, if he has wronged you, if he owes you anything, charge it to me. Well, you don't know how much he might have stolen. But afterwards, Paul said, but I remind you that you owe me everything that you have and everything that you are. You understand? That's the best way to be. Now, this is the second point. I told you how much Paul meant to his converts. Now, Paul says, I want you to understand how much I mean to you. Your eternal salvation is because I witnessed to you and told you of Christ. Now think of the one who told you how to be saved. Think if he had not told you how to be saved, if you had never heard the gospel, think how empty, how barren, how worthless life would have been. And now that that man told you of the love of Christ and led you to Christ, but he owed him everything. And I said that I remember the man who told me about Christ way back in 1946, J. Leroy Kuhlman. And do you know your spiritual grandfather? I learned mine by accident. Here is this man in California who led me to Christ. And years later, I was in Augusta, Georgia. And there was a fellow there named Charlie Fauci. And he said, no, tell me how you were saved. And I told him, I said, yeah, a fellow named J. Leroy Kuhlman led me to the Lord. He said, I said, I led J. Leroy Kuhlman to the Lord. I said, well, you are my spiritual grandfather. And so that's the way it is. You never know how it is. But he was this man, and he could tell me how to be saved in such a manner that I would accept it. But Philemon could do it. Archippus could do it. No, it took Paul. And so just remember that. And do not feel insignificant and unable to do the work of God if people are not saved under your ministry but under another. It's just that God has certain ones that can do it. All right. Here, the Apostle Paul became curious to this man, but he wasn't really worried because he said, knowing your obedience, you're going to do more than I ask. He said, I leave things there. And to show his boldness, he said, and now that I've said that and finished with it, you prepare me a place to live. And so that's beautiful. Prepare for me a lodging. So these are a few thoughts about the Apostle Paul, how God is going to save those that he gives to Christ, and how we should treat them, and how we should live before them, and the love that should exist between fathers and sons in Christ, and among all the family of God. And it's gone. No. You may go on.
I don't think
we put it in 30 minutes. Well, what time does it say? What time is it, old boy?
8:03.
Well, mine says 8. Well, anyway, okay. So you all may go on if you wish. Or ask any questions. That's
reminded of something, though.
Yes.
Where in the history of the church in Rome, there was a lady named Monica. I don't know the name of his son. He was a very wayward boy, and he insisted on leaving Rome to go somewhere else. And he begged him, please don't go there. She was afraid of what would happen. Then he stayed for a while, but ultimately he went to this particular place. And of all things, he met a costume, and in a few weeks, he was back to the Lord.
You know what my mother told me when I had to get her signature to join the Navy? I joined one of the 17. She said, I'm sending my son away to die. And she sent me to California, and I got saved. You think that's the way it is? Exactly, right. And so you don't know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When this young son in Luke 15 left home, oh dear, that's the only place he could get saved was in the water. And out in California, there was somebody waiting that could lead me to the Lord, and someone in Rome was waiting to lead Onesimus to the Lord. So all that the Father giveth me shall what? Come unto me. Sometimes they come running away from God, but they don't realize that they're running into the hands of God. So don't worry. All that the Father giveth shall come unto me. And remember this verse. There is nobody who wants to know. There is nobody who wants to be saved. He will not be saved because the Savior makes this promise in John 7:17. If any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. And if a man is willing to do God's will, the Savior says, I promise you, you will know. And so if a man says, I don't know, then he's not willing to do God's will. At times, it's going to cause excommunication. When that blind man in John 9 stood up for Christ, what did they do with him? Excommunicated him. But when they threw him out, it says the Lord Jesus heard it, and he went to him, and he ministered to him privately. So let's take these things to heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that all things work together for good to them that love God. We are thankful that we know He is in heaven that works things together for good. In Him all things consist, and our Father, your Son also, if He's able to hold the universe together, is able to hold the church and mankind together, and bring to pass all those things that the Father desires to come to pass. Who can say that He has superseded the will of God? Who can contradict God? Who can say His purpose? Our Father, no man can. And so we are glad that we know this. And ultimately, all the children of God shall come to Thy Son, and as one we shall be gathered together in heaven. Now let this set into our heart, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.